It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts, Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young. Hello, 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 gentlemen. We now have our new iPhones and Apple Watches. Jim, you didn't get yours. You were on a bit of a delay, weren't you?
I was on a bit of a flight cancel, not a flight delay.
So what happened there? You're supposed to get back Friday. You're going to enjoy your new gear. And what happened?
The weather in Dallas on Friday was quite simply awful. I mean, there were like flash floods all over the place. I'm watching Twitter and they're doing car rescues, like water rescues all over the city. People were stuck on interstates. It was nuts. It was just a torrential downpour in Dallas Friday night. All the way up until the time we got to the airport, no issues with the 5 o'clock flight. We got on the plane. We pulled out from the gate so they could say it had left the building. And at this point, I'm about asleep. I don't even know what's going on. And then I hear an announcement and we're pulling back up to the gate. Got back on the plane about 9 and was sitting there about 15 minutes and they came on and they canceled the flight. I took the 5:40 a.m. flight from St. Louis to Houston. So I was home about 10 a.m. Saturday morning. And it was just, I think that is the first time in all of my years of business travel where I've actually had to stay over an extra night someplace and unable to get home. So I guess it was bound to happen eventually, right?
The irony is you're normally home by Thursday nights. So the one time that you're delayed is on new iPhone, is new iPhone day. That's
right. That's the company had a company meeting on Friday and we all came in for it Saturday night and partied, you know, all night Saturday night. I was, you know, Friday was a long day, let me tell you. But made it home, was able to, my phone was sitting in front of the door to my apartment. So it had been sitting there about 24 hours. How's that for nervous?
Ah.
So generally, they're supposed to hold it in the office. And they actually signed for it in the office. But whoever was working the office late Friday, they deliver packages to, you know, to people's doors. And they've got I've seen it. There's a sticky note there that says, don't deliver to, you know, my apartment number. Because I just tell them, look, I'm gone. If I don't get it, I'll get it from you on Saturday morning or Friday, you know, when I come back in. So I got my phone Saturday morning.
There was a brick of gold sitting outside of your door that anyone could have walked off with. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, my building's got, you know, like, you've got to have a fob to get in and out of the building, and then you've got to get to the right floor, and I'm all the way around. I mean, I shouldn't say this, but I leave my apartment all the time and don't even lock the door. Now, not like for a day. But, you know, if I'm just going to eat lunch or just go to bring the dry cleaning back, I just walk out the door and close it.
Wow.
If I leave my house for 3 minutes and leave the garage door open, but the hair stands on the back of my neck the entire time.
And I live in, you know, the suburbs of Atlanta, and I lock the door while I'm at home.
With the alarm set.
Yes.
So anyway, I got my phone Saturday morning, so hooray. And y'all all three had them Friday? Everybody's came in?
Jason and Brad got theirs pretty early on Friday, as I understand it. You guys were FedEx because you used the carrier, I guess, right? So you didn't do it from Apple, or did you do it from Apple?
No, I got mine directly from Verizon. It came FedEx, and luckily we had it before noon. We had a little bit of a letdown false alarm in that the neighbor got a FedEx ground package, and the FedEx ground truck parked right in front of our house for some reason. You know, the dog started going crazy and all Kate saw was a FedEx truck outside. And this is at like 8:30 in the morning. So she's out there, you know, barefooted on the front porch, ready to get these iPhones. And
the wife's like, the new phone books are here. The new phone books are here.
Yep. And
even the dog knew they were coming and nope.
Nope. Denied. So we were quite disappointed about that. But other than that, you know, ours came in. I got the 256 10S Max, and she got the 256 10S Silver, and we're both liking them an awful lot so far.
Yeah, I got mine Friday afternoon. I had them delivered to the UPS store, which, you know, Apple always uses UPS, and despite living in the area where UPS is headquartered, they're not exactly the speediest out here sometimes, so better than getting them delivered to my house, where it would be like, you know, 7 o'clock or so if I got them at all the same day, whereas if at least I do the UPS store, they'll come in about 1 or 2 usually, and then I set them up after work, and that being my own IT department, that was kind of, it took a long time, of course, to unpair the old watch, pair the new one, back up the old one, do all that good stuff. But man, I'm really shocked that my most impressive device is not the XS, but the Series 4 Apple Watch. That thing is amazing. If you have an older watch, now is the time to upgrade, I would say.
I agree. We can get there, but yeah, this is it. it's a pretty sharp watch.
Somebody on Twitter called it the iPhone 4 of Apple Watches, and I think that's a good comparison. It's finally something that's kind of impressive and less dorky than it was in years past. What are your impressions right out of the gate there, Jim? Because I think you're the only other one with the series. Well, Brad, did you do the Series 4 as well?
No, I didn't get a watch.
Ah, so you and me.
I see Brad's got his FedEx shirt on, though, because he's repping FedEx getting him his phone on
No,
Friday.
My phone came UPS. I just happened to be wearing a FedEx shirt. My phone came about 9:30 Friday morning, but I had to go out on a customer call. So I got my phone put together about 12:30 or 1 that afternoon.
I actually got lucky because, as we've previously stated, I was stuck in St. Louis, but I got a call from the entrance phone to my building from the FedEx guy to get in the building because, if there's somebody standing there, they'll let the FedEx guy in because he's the FedEx guy. But just so happens there was nobody standing there, so he calls me, and I was able to tell them, hey, I'm not home. Can you have somebody in the office sign for it? Because otherwise they would have just went to my apartment, and I wouldn't have been there, and I may have gotten the sticker. So I got really lucky in that respect that they went to the office and had somebody sign for it. So
yeah, I got mine the same time I got the phone, and I was not expecting it to be as nice as it is. The 2 millimeters makes all the difference. It's much bigger. That with the slimmer bezels, the screen on that thing looks huge. It's like the screen takes up the entire device now. I didn't realize how kind of shortchanged you were on the previous models. And I know I saw the diagrams online where they compared the Series 0 through Series 3 body type to the one for the Series 4. And it looked impressive online, but you really miss something until you see it in person. The tap targets to do things like the unlock passcode are huge compared to what they were.
Oh, God. It's crazy how big the 1 through, 0 through 9 are. Yeah.
And some of the apps need to be updated. Like my security system uses that and it has a keypad. And the keypad is still designed for the smaller watch, so it's got the small tap targets. But I can't wait for them to take advantage of that full screen because, wow. I mean, it is... You could practically use your thumbs on it's so large to be able to do it on the 44 millimeter.
Speaking of screen size, you're talking about your security system app using a keypad that's not optimized for the Series 4 watch. One of the things that I didn't really think about is apps not being optimized for the XS Max. And I have run into a couple of things where...
All of them.
Yeah, well, I've run into several apps so far that have either glitches or UI components that just aren't right. One case in particular is the screenshot editing app called Pinpoint. For some reason, that is pretty much completely unusable. All of the icons that are normally at the top of the screen are now in the notch. It worked fine on my 10S or on my 10, but it does not work on the 10S Max. I have noticed on some apps that are more like reading apps, I have like a horizontal line going across the bottom of the screen where a 10S or a 10 would normally cut off the text. So I can visually see how much more text I get on the screen, but it's really annoying when you're scrolling to see this, it's kind of a translucent line. So it's not really blocking the content, but it's definitely there. So I'm looking forward to some of the apps getting updated with, better UI parameters.
Yeah, how are you liking the larger screen there, Jason? Since you're the only one among us that did the 10S Max.
So I'm enjoying it. The phone is actually a little bit smaller in size than a 7 Plus or an 8 Plus, not substantially by any means in any direction, but
it's like a millimeter or something.
Yeah,
like,
it's a minuscule difference. The one thing that I guess I didn't think it through that great. Like I was thinking, I'd get the bigger screen because my eyes aren't as good as they used to be. And in order for me to do that, I'm going to need to turn on like magnification or something to make things bigger. Because what I'm actually getting is I'm getting more of the identically same sized content than a larger, footprint or a larger view. So I pulled up, I've still got my 10, I haven't sent it back yet. And so I pulled up mail in it versus mail on the 10S Max. And I just get a ton more on the screen of actual messages to choose from, but they're the same exact size visually.
So it's like the same resolution, but you got more pixels.
Correct.
And you can't size the pixels down or whatever.
What if you hit that font slider inside of accessibility?
Yeah, so I can definitely change font size, or I can switch it to you know, from standard view to zoomed view, that's not a problem. But, you know, just kind of my initial thought was get the bigger one, you'll see more. Now, I will say this, you really can tell a difference when you're kind of up close and personal, like if you're watching something from Netflix or off your DVR or something, watching video on the XS Max at a short distance. It's like the difference between a 55 and a 75 inch, you know, TV screen at the same distance.
Right. Well, because that's all set at like 1080p, right? So that's all 1080p. So you're going to see bigger of the same image on your phone versus apps that are made to scale are still the pixels. The words are the same size. You're just getting, you see 50 emails instead of 30 or something.
I would like to fire up a movie that does HDR or Dolby Vision on the phone and just see how that looks on that display. Because even with the XS, I'm sure it's going to look nice. I'm used to watching those on the big TV on the OLED, but I haven't tried it on the phone yet. And I bet that's going to look pretty amazing. And I know, Jason, you had messaged us in the group chat on Friday night and pointed out how much better the speakers sound. So I did the same thing. I loaded up a trailer and watched on it. And I was sufficiently surprised by how much louder the phone sounds if you're watching it, you know, handheld versus what it used to be.
And it's not just that it's more loud. It is like there's more tone to it. There's more definition to it. I watched the Captain Marvel trailer was the one that I watched. And I'd use the term immersive, right? Like it kind of drew me into the trailer because the sound was actually that good. It didn't have like a typical tinny kind of overdriven sound that I'm used to out of an iPhone.
It's like somebody hit a little HomePod inside your phone.
But I will say that my OCD is greatly bothered in that the number of holes in the bottom of the phone are not the same on each side of the lightning jack.
Oh yeah, that drives me crazy too, Jason. No, I saw it and I saw it online and I saw it on the phone and I'm just like, just don't look at it. Just don't look at it.
Wow. I never noticed.
Yeah, they had to do that because of positioning on the bottom. I read a story about it online on why they had to do that, but yeah.
Speaking of loud, the watch is a lot louder too. I don't know if you've done any phone calls on the Series 4 yet, Jim, but wow, you can actually carry on a conversation and it's great.
Yeah, no, me and my girlfriend nerded out last night trying out. So she just got a watch for the first time. And so I was trying to show her how to use it. She got the cellular set up and we were walking through a bunch of just different stuff. And
Jim's trying to teach her how to tell time.
You know, I showed her how to tell time with it and take calls. That was my two things that I could do with the phone. Y'all know me. No, I'm using it for a lot more now. So I didn't order the phone on, you know, Friday.
You mean the watch?
The watch, sorry. Right. I didn't order the watch last Friday. I waited until this Wednesday and I watched the Verge video, the review, and was like, oh, that's nice. And then I watched one or two more other sites. I forget who they were, but the Verge one was just about enough. And I ordered the watch Wednesday night. And so my ship date was October 17th or 20th or whatever it was. So, I was okay. I'm going to get my phone next month or my watch next month. And then we were supposed to go to the Apple store Friday night when I got in because girlfriend wanted to see she wanted to buy one, but she wanted to see them first. She wanted to see the colors and just see all the, you know, just basically put hands on them. And so we went on Saturday or we got up Saturday after she picked me up from the airport. And she went online and we were looking through them there and she realized that the model she wanted was actually available for pickup here in Dallas. So we went up to North Park. She ordered it. We went up to North Park to pick it up. And, you know, me, I talk to people everywhere I go because it's what I do. And so I'm sitting there chatting with the guy, you know, like the Apple guy in line. And he goes, no, we have, you know, the space gray 44s, in stock if you wanted to get one today. And I was like, really? So it's not the Nike edition. The Nike is the one that I ordered online, but I wasn't like super stoked on the Nike edition. That's what I was ordering. And so it was about, I don't know, 1:30 at this point. And so I was able to do a reservation with him to buy mine, but I was supposed to come back at 3 because there were so many people waiting. So I walked inside when Megan was buying hers and, you know, we're talking about, you know, me placing the order and the really super nice lady working at the Apple store was like, oh, I can go ahead and get yours. She's like, what's your name? I can pull it up. And so what she sold Megan hers and basically just put mine in the, you know, pulled up mine and was able to get mine brought over immediately too. And I was even able to take my old watch off and basically reset it standing right there and get my credit for the old watch without ever having to ship it back to Apple and walk out with, you know, two new watches for each of us. So, and I can't say enough great things about the screen on this watch. I mean, it just makes a hell of a difference compared to the old one. It makes the old one look like 5 years old. I mean, it really does. They really made a huge leap.
I hope this inspires developers to start developing more for it again and actually doing more for it. That would be really nice. I know Jason and I tried the walkie-talkie feature the other night when watchOS 5 was released. It was a little bit sluggish on the Series 3, I noticed. Now, I haven't tried it on the Series 4, but on the Series 3, there's a little bit of a delay, and what it's actually doing is make a FaceTime audio call every time you do that. So that's how they're pulling that off, I hear, behind the scenes.
I mean, I only tried it with you, but that is not a feature I think I would use very often, if ever.
I added Brian as a friend, and he hasn't approved me yet, so I think he just didn't want to talk to me.
I never saw that, honestly. Huh. We're going to have to try that again. Maybe you caught me in between watches.
I haven't got... Yeah, maybe I did. I actually haven't set up cellular on mine yet. It's not the cellular's not working on mine yet. I've got to call Verizon. I think it's something to do with the old one being removed from my account and the new one being added. So when I try to log in via the little the watch app where it says, you know, go in and add it to your account, it says we can't do it at this time. Call this number. So I've got to call and see about getting the new watch added onto my cellular. So
when I unpaired the old watch, it said, do you want to remove it? And I said, yes. And then when I put on the new, when I set up the new watch and restored it from the backup, it said, do you want to turn it on? I logged on, picked the watch I wanted it to be on, and I was off and going on Friday. So that's really weird. It's doing it to you, but that's not surprising.
It's because when I reset my watch on Saturday, the girl at the Apple store told me to say, keep my plan. So maybe that's it. Like she said, keep your plan and you're just switching to the new watch. Well, that didn't work.
It says on the screen that when you remove it, it doesn't remove it from your cellular plan. It removes it from the watch. So shame on Apple for telling you that.
Yeah. So she told me that. So that's probably my problem then. And I need to call them or go online and try to make sure that the other one is taken off.
Now that Podcast and Overcast actually both support the watch, it's going to be time for me this week to try to take a walk, leave the phone in the house, and just go out and use that and see what kind of experience I get out of it, because I'm looking forward to that. And according to what I saw online, Overcast tries to download your podcast to the watch overnight or when you're not using it, when it's charging, so you don't have to sit there and wait. I mean, you can, but it tries to be intelligent about it and put those on your watch at times you're not using it so that you're not having to sit there and wait. You can only load a few, I think, but it looks definitely, and it supported it day one, which was nice. And I think I put a message into Telegram where somebody had pointed that out to the Pocket Cast people of, hey, look at this there. What are you guys? We're not going to be first. We'll get to this later. And I'm glad I switched, especially since Pocket Cast doesn't support playlists on iOS. They do on Android, but not on iOS. They removed it a long time ago. And that became a non-starter when I had to do a lot of driving this summer and I needed playlists to put together. Strange.
So what do you think of that new phone, Brad?
I like it a lot.
You're all Face ID now and big, huge screen with no buttons. Which case did you go with?
I basically got the same case I had before. I had the midnight blue silicone case. I just got the same case. So it looks like the same phone on the outside, except for the, you know, I had the silver phone before. So the one I had before had the white bezel.
Silver bezel.
Well, it was silver on the back, but the front was, you know, white.
Yeah, but you said the bezel was white.
The bezel is white.
Well, the bezel is white. On the 6S silver, the bezel is white.
Silver.
I disagree.
6S, Brian.
Oh, I thought he had a 10. I thought you had a 10 before.
No, sir. I had a 6S.
Oh, my bad.
Come on, man. Wake up.
Yeah, I had a 3-year-old phone.
Whoopsie.
But yeah, I mean, I've been really happy with it so far. It's definitely faster moving between apps and all the little fun stuff. I haven't messed with shortcuts very much. Plan on fooling with that some this week. I did play with the Animoji a good bit the past couple of days.
You got your Memoji set up?
No, I haven't set up my Memoji yet.
Oh, you definitely, you totally should.
You've just been sending everything as that little piece of poo, haven't you?
I like the chicken a lot.
I was doing the Memoji with my parents the other day, and they loved it. It was the first time they had seen it, I guess, and I'd sent them the little things before last year with the Animoji where you could record them and send them to other people. But this having to do it live and they could see it as we FaceTimed was they got quite the kick out of that. So that was pretty neat. I didn't realize you were going from like a 6S to the 10S.
Yeah, it's a big jump.
That is quite the jump. Do you guys see the? I'll post a link in the show notes. But the somebody had posted the JavaScript benchmarks against the 10S and the 10S Max, and it was faster than a Mac Pro. And it was
that's nuts.
And it was like 50% faster than the iPhone 8 from the previous year. Wow.
So did you and the wife upgrade, Brad? Y'all got both go to 10S?
Yeah.
You convince her?
I got her one too. It should be here on Monday, I believe. There was a little bit of delay in shipping. But yeah, it's coming. Which, you know, she's giving me a hard time about it, telling me, you know, I did it on purpose and all that to spite her. Just, you know, she's messing around, but
there was reports of delays all over. I saw on the my RSS feeds were popping on Friday saying that people had mysteriously had their shipments moved from Friday to Monday. I guess your wife was one of them.
One of my coworkers ordered himself and his son 10S's on, or 10S Maxes on release day. They didn't get up at 2 o'clock and do it, but they did it, you know, midday on that Friday. My coworkers was set to not ship for like 3 more weeks for some reason, but his son's was scheduled to ship and arrive on time, and he just called him up. I think he ordered his through AT&T though, and he called up AT&T and was basically like, this isn't gonna work, this isn't gonna fly. And they said, we'll fix it, but it still may be another week out. But both phones showed up, you know, on Friday, so nothing bad happened. Not that I expected him to just show up and say, I'm gonna stomp a mud hole in your ass or something like that, but you know, I definitely didn't think he was gonna be happy about it though.
Yeah, it was weird how quick the times slipped for both the watch and the phone. It looks like the watch actually started slipping faster than the phones did. So I think the 10S they had plenty of, which to me the 10S feels a little bit heavier than the 10 did, just a little bit, even though they're the same size. I don't know, something about it felt a little bit weightier in my hand a little bit. I don't know, maybe that's just me. I should put them both and see just now, since I still have the 10 laying here.
Yeah, I didn't really notice anything. Yeah, I think as more information gets out about the watch, it's going to pick up some steam, because you're going to have folks that didn't have one that finally might get pushed over the edge. And then I don't necessarily think you'll have people like me who already had a cellular that are like, okay, I've got to have the new one. I'm kind of a crazy case. I'm sitting here doing an Apple podcast. So, but you know, anybody that's got a series one or series two that's been holding on to those for a couple of years now, I can definitely see that whole batch of people. I mean, because they were early adopters at that point, you know, of the watch in general. So, you know, they're fans somewhat. So I can see once you lay eyes on a Series 4 watch, it's just, it's crazy how much better the screen looks than the old one. I was just shocked. That's why, like, on when I bought mine on Saturday, like I said, I had previously ordered the Nike, and that's what I wanted. But I just got the black space gray with the sport band. I mean, because I have a black sport band already from my Series 1 that I had, but it's really old and dingy. So, you know, it's not bad having a new black sport band. So, and I've already got all the other sport loop colors that I would have wanted. I actually didn't like when I saw the Nike sport loop in the store. It's black, but it's got like a white undertone, like the reflective part that's underneath. It's not as solid, just black band like the black sport loop is. It's got a distinctly the whatever the reflective material is. I didn't think it looked as well as just the black sport loop did personally. So that's the band I would have ended up with if I got the one from the online order.
Well, so one thing that you guys have talked about is, you know, that you had a pretty easy time restoring from iCloud backup. Well, I decided to do something a little bit different in that I have had problems probably on 3 or 4 different phones in the past, you know, 9 or 10 years, where restoring from either a computer backup or iCloud backup, something gets corrupted, or maybe I had something that was killing battery life on one phone, and all I end up doing is restoring it to a brand new phone, kills that battery life. So with the advent of iMessage or messages in the cloud, that was kind of the biggest thing that I would lose, was if I didn't restore, I would lose all the text messages that I had previously. Well, this year I decided that I was going to set up the phone from scratch, brand new, and not restore from backup. And this isn't a phone-specific feature, but an iOS 12-specific feature, and that is the integration with 1Password and additional password management systems. All I did, I downloaded 1Password, went into the settings, went into the security settings, and told it that I wanted to use iCloud Keychain and 1Password, and that integration is so smooth and so seamless that like every app that I had to log into for the first time, it was just like I'd launch Amazon, put the cursor, in the logon
cursor.
Field. I don't know. What do you call it? You tap in the logon field and it would come up and it's like, do you want to use Keychain or 1Password? I'd select 1Password, and then it was smart enough that if it could match it up, I didn't even have to select the login. It knew that I was on Amazon. It grabbed the Amazon login and filled it in. And so that's been great. I've got like 11 financial apps and they all have 20 character cryptic passwords that I have no idea what they are, and not having to have typed those in or anything. Of course, I use Face ID now, but anytime you go to a new phone or it senses a change, it unenrolls you from Face ID. You have to actually log in and re-enroll into Face ID. So that is an iOS 12 feature that I am very, very happy that they included, and I can see myself using 1Password considerably more now than kind of the combo of iCloud Keychain and 1Password.
Over time, I've used both so much that they're pretty much in sync as it is now, but man, I think Jim and I talked about this a while ago. I think as far back, I think iOS 10 was the last one I did a fresh install, and it was such a pain in the ass. I'm just never doing that again if I don't have to. So I would rather delete apps than re-add apps. I mean, I can get the whole starting from scratch, but no way. We're at the point technologically where I will do a fresh install of macOS before I will do a fresh install of iOS. Just it's easier.
I was a compulsive reformatter back in the day. Compulsive. And anytime there was a new anything, I would do it. I've got so much stuff going on this phone.
And I think that's just a Windows mentality from days of yore.
That is for me. It is. But then, it was just with phones, it used to seem like it just worked better if you just started from scratch. But now I have so many things that I'm logged into. And
in the early days of iOS, you would even get that recommendation from the Apple Store. Well, can you go and set it up as a new device? Could you do that?
And it used to actually talk to iTunes, and you can install apps from iTunes. That's the biggest change for me, is I have so many apps on there that I use and that I'm logged into and I have settings in. If you set up from new, you've got to basically go through the App Store and pick out every single app that you want to install and put them back on there and set them up. And for me, that's the biggest thing is, used to be you still had a list of apps in iTunes, like when iTunes had the App Store for the phones too. And so you could basically say, okay, now sync with my Mac and then just go through and check boxes. I want this installed, this installed, this installed, this installed. There is no like checklist now of, I want to install these 100 apps anymore. I mean, to me, the phone might as well not even talk to iTunes on my Mac anymore, as little as it actually does. You can't even sync ringtones anymore. I mean, you can't sync anything with the Mac. The only usefulness of it was on Saturday, I stuck my old phone on, connected it to the Mac and backed it up and then just did a restore from the Mac, that away. That way I wasn't restoring from iCloud because it's, faster to restore locally. But that's the only thing I use the Mac for in that case. You do the same thing, Brian? Just back up to your Mac and then restore from your Mac? Or do you do it all from the cloud?
I did it all from the cloud. I mean, I've got a ridiculously fast connection. I'm sitting on top of the access point. It's going to come back just as quick. So it's like, I'll just do one last iCloud backup. And now too, when you're moving phones, it's a lot less painful than it used to be where you get the new phone and it's like, hey, just put it next to your old device. And you do. And then everything gets transferred, including like your Wi-Fi password and all that good stuff. And then you're off to the races. Like you literally don't have to do anything. Your phone just morphs into the new one.
What I do like is how it says, your last phone backup was, say, this morning at 7:33. Do you want to do one last backup? You tell it, yeah. And then, then you've got like a point, a minute to minute restore of your phone.
I did one at like 5:02, and then I went through the process and it wanted to do it at 5:04. And I'm like, no, I'm good. We'll just go from the one from 2 minutes ago. We'll just do that. But yeah, I forgot that it even does that, where it gives you one last backup before it does it. I mean, they've made the process so painless to go from one device to the other that if you're
please, please, please buy a new device. We've put a lot of work into this particular piece of the software, more so than a whole lot of other ones, just so you can buy a new phone every year.
That's pretty much it, and it shows. So, I mean, I respect going through that new process, but man, it's just not worth it. I don't get any benefit out of it anymore, so I've stopped doing it.
So one of the other things that I wanted to do was take one for the team, and by doing it this way, I get all the tips and reminders and stuff that pop up that would come on a new phone that I have found that when you restore, a lot of those settings are already set, or it sees you as a longtime iOS user and doesn't give you kind of those, here's what's new on this, and here's how to turn on reachability and that kind of stuff.
Which you are probably using quite a bit, Jason.
Well, so that is one of the things. I'm not using it that much, but what I ended up having to do was I rearranged icons. So like my text message icon had always been top left, right? Well, now it's really hard to one hand the thing and go top left. So like the whole top row that I had on the iPhone X is now the bottom row on the XS Max, and what was the bottom row on it is now the top row on the other. So that way, those applications I use less. So the applications that I use the most are starting essentially from the springboard up, not the top down.
Yeah, what do you put in your iOS dock if your text messages aren't in your dock?
Text messages are in the dock now. So I've got phone messages, Safari, and then mail.
Okay. Yeah, I've got the same. Well, mail is Spark, but yeah.
I must be the only one that does phone, text messages, Safari, and 1Password. Those are the ones that that are in my dock.
Mine is Telegram, phone, messages, and Safari.
But so now, do you have a need to actually launch the 1Password app that often?
I do for things like credit card, that type of thing. Sometimes I want to go and I'll notice something, you know, may not be right in some other location. I mean, going forward, I've only been doing this for the last couple of days. You know, maybe not going forward. Historically, I have. That's why it's always been a place of prominence.
I have 1Password on the dock on my iPad because you get a couple extra spots, and it's worth it right there on there. And if I had, you know, a little more room, I might put it on there. But yeah, no, I get you. Makes sense.
Especially with the new integration, right? Like I've got 1Password essentially on my third screen at this point, just because like I don't. Unless I was going to manually add a login or something, I don't feel like I have the need to log into a UI version of 1Password anymore on the iPhone.
Yeah, no, I can't not have that icon on my screen, man. That's like, it's got to be on the home screen. 1Password belongs on the home screen.
I have to create logins. Does that support it? Like if I go and I register through something in Safari, will it automatically add to 1Password? Or does it just still do keychain?
Don't know. Haven't tried that.
See, that's a definite use case.
You can turn off keychain. So you can go into the settings in under passwords in general, and you can tell it only use keychain, only use 1Password, or use both. So I just turned off keychain right there. And so it only prompts me for 1Password now. So if it does say, prompt you to save, I'm guessing, I mean, if they've built that ability into word 1Password, which I haven't tried it yet. So, yeah, but I was confused by that.
We use LastPass at work, so that is also an option.
Okay, cool.
Anything that gets people to be better. And it's weird that they didn't Sherlock people and just force them into using keychain in perpetuity. It's a very developer-friendly thing Apple did by doing that, so that's definitely nice.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of people that use 1Password, and there would have been a small revolt from a loud few if they would have just tried to make everybody use
Keychain.
The keychain. Yeah, sorry, I went blank there. Yeah, I mean, especially if it's like a security thing, like Apple wants all your passwords and you're not allowed to put them anywhere else. So they, you know, they almost have to in that case, right?
I could see them pulling that, but I'm glad they didn't. So as the only other person, I guess, Jason, you have a HomePod as well, right?
I do.
Are you liking iOS 12 on the HomePod? Have you done any of the HomePod specific things?
I haven't. I was just thinking about that. I've been remiss in two things here. I haven't done anything iOS 12 specific on the HomePod. And one of the coolest features about the phone is the dynamic bokeh and depth of field and like the awesome stuff that you can do in the portrait mode. And I'm a portrait mode user ever since it's been out, and I have not tried anything photography wise on the new phone yet. I'm definitely going to put it through a nice run through its paces this upcoming week though.
So there's a couple of things that are pretty cool. First of all, as somebody who owns two HomePods, and I only did that because they were deeply discounted at Micro Center a few months ago where they were like $50 off. So I had gotten a second one. What's nice about that is when you go through the Home app to upgrade the firmware from iOS 11 to iOS 12, if you have multiple HomePods, it'll say upgrade this HomePod or upgrade all of your HomePods, which is very, very, I want them to put the Apple TV in there as well. I would love to be able to pull down my phone.
Ooh, yeah.
And say, get all the Apple TVs, because I got like four now or five, something like that. And it's like, just get them all. Just upgrade them all so I don't have to run around the house doing it. Give me the same thing for the iOS devices where I can say, update them all right now. Just give me just basic management. If it's on my network and it's signed into my iCloud account, let me go ahead and update everything in one shot. It would be perfect. So that was definitely nice.
And you know there's an update automatically option for Apple TV, right?
It never has worked for me. Like I turn it on and then I could come back days later and it never runs. I don't know why. It's
same here. Mine is never automatically updated.
And they've had that feature in there forever.
Really?
Mine works like a champ.
Mine never has.
I was going to say, I can't remember the last time I had to upgrade my Apple TV. I mean, I'm gone during the week, so like they do these updates and I get home and I've checked every now and then, you know, like you know, we'll be like, oh, the new patch is out this Tuesday or whatever. When I get home, I go on a check, and I can't remember the last time I've had to upgrade either one of my Apple TVs. They both just...
I'm glad Brad's with me on this because I've never had it work. They've had that feature in there going back for at least 4 or 5 years. And it is, I used to turn them on and try to set it and forget it. And you guys may have seen in Telegram where I got angry. I was like, where's the power cord to my television? I was like, where did my housekeeper move the power cord to my TV? And it turns out I sold it like a month ago as a power cord to an Apple TV that I was selling on eBay. Whoopsie. And that was one where it was set to upgrade automatically. So it took about 3 or 4 days before I had another power cord. You know, it was supposed to be Prime, but by the time I got around to doing it, it was probably OS 12. iOS 12 came out on Monday, and I probably upgraded it Wednesday night. And that was set to upgrade automatically. Went in there, and it was still on iOS 11. Didn't do it. So even though it didn't have the TV attached, TV wasn't powered on. That's not a prerequisite. So it should have done it, and it never has. And it's never worked.
It's odd.
So going back to you talking about upgrading the HomePod, I didn't have nearly the same good experience that you did. I actually ended up having to reset the HomePod back to factory settings and go from there. So the developer beta profile, if you're a member of the Apple Developer Program, when you download that beta profile, it asked, did you want to put it on this device or something else? And one of those something else's was a HomePod. So I, like months ago, had downloaded the iOS 12 beta profile and applied it to my HomePod, okay?
I didn't think there was a beta profile for the HomePod because you couldn't run all those cool features. Nobody was talking. They were only rumored. So I don't remember getting prompted for that when I did the beta profile. It was just...
Okay, well, it's there. You can go back and re-download your profile because you could still put that profile on it now that it's got 12, right? But they never did a iOS beta 12 for a HomePod. And I wanted to make sure that I had it on because, you know, we got Gold Master days ahead of time on iOS 12 on our phones because we had the beta and they released it to developers. So I was going to be slick and have iOS 12 before you on the HomePod, because I knew you didn't do that, but come to find out that profile, because it was always looking for a beta to download, there never was one. So this makes
perfect sense now. So because I don't remember seeing the actual, like you couldn't force iOS 12 to the HomePod during the development phase. So the fact that profiling, okay, so you screwed yourself pretty good.
So remember I was telling you in Telegram of, you know, hey, I keep...
now this makes sense.
Right, like, you know, he kept saying, you know, you're on 11.4.1, you're on the latest, and I'm like, no. And this was like after the public release was out, and so by resetting the HomePod back to factory, it deleted the profile, and then... I mean, as soon as it powered up, I got a message on the phone. It was like, there's an update for HomePod. Would you like to install it?
Interesting. Okay. That makes sense. I've had to reset my HomePod a couple of times, only one of them. And that's not so bad to reset up over again. You do your little 5-minute setup. And then of course, you know, everything lives in the cloud. You can't put apps on it. So it's back up and running in no time. That makes a whole lot of sense. The day that all the OSs came out, I FaceTimed my parents, got them to update. You know, I can tell them now they're good at this of going and running and getting the Apple TV and getting the watch. Well, they don't have a watch, sorry. Getting the iPads, the phones, everything updated. And I walked them through how to update the HomePod. So when it was done, the real reason I wanted to do that was, you know, I got that for them this summer as a gift. And one of the neatest things that I wanted them to be able to do was answer phone calls. And you couldn't do that before. Well, now you can. You just, if your phone starts ringing, you invoke Siri and say, answer the phone on the HomePod. And boom, you're automatically connected. What's weird is when you want to hang up, you have to invoke Siri and say, hang up. And so the other person hears you say that, which is weird. That'll be a new thing, I guess. And it'll hang up the phone call, which is way cool, though. It works really, really well.
So if somebody just walks by and yells, hang up, is that the equivalent of the old school, like your little sister walking by and turning off your Xbox while you're playing a game?
Pretty much, yes.
Starts talking to Cortana?
Yes, pretty much. You can, or when the commercial would come on and it would do things on your TV when you had the Xbox, same thing.
But don't you still have to say, hey, lady, though, to make that
you do,
work?
You do. You have to invoke the assistant. But if somebody, it's not like there's, you know how your phone, if you invoke Siri, your phone will listen to you, but it won't do it on your wife's phone. At least that's my experience, because, you know, you train it. The HomePod, of course, doesn't recognize multiple users like that. So anybody saying it will do it. When I was watching the keynote, I had the volume up, and at the beginning of the keynote, the person in the video invokes Siri to say how to get to Steve Jobs, you know, whatever amphitheater. And when that part happened, my HomePods just heard that. I was like, here's getting you directions to the Steve Jobs Theater on the Apple campus. It's like, whoa. That part's kind of annoying.
That's because that crazy announcer on that Apple video has got like the Brian voice where you can just do the voice thing. So it actually sounds kind of like Brian. It's like,
in a world.
Sunday.
Oh, yeah. So changing subject for just a second. Something that I found a little different on not restoring from backup, when I set up Siri as a new device, it didn't ask me to say, hey, lady. It didn't ask me to go through like the ask about the weather or whatever. So on my 10, if you said, hey, lady, it would only answer on my voice. It would not answer on Kate's voice and vice versa on her phone. And now you can say, hey, lady, and it answers for anybody. So I have no like Siri specific voice recognition anymore.
So I'll just go back and set mine up again through the Siri setup. You can do that at any time. So I'll see if that's still the case. That's weird. Hope they didn't take that away. That would be weirdly stupid to take that away.
I was kind of surprised the new phone walked me through the Face ID, but I guess that's stored in the enclave and it's secure to your phone. So if you upgrade, it's not backed up or anything anywhere. It's just in your phone.
Yeah,
so,
things in the secure enclave are always like that. It was like that with Touch ID when you would move. It's like that with your credit cards. That's the other thing that's kind of annoying. I have a debit card and a credit card, a couple of credit cards and corporate card and all that in there, and had to go and set that up on both the phone and the watch. And that
was 1Password, Brian. Right, Brian? You had to launch 1Password to get those verification codes every time to reset up the Apple Pay. That was one reason to go start clicking on 1Password, because you just had to get all those verification codes.
Well, it doesn't always matter, because sometimes your credit card has to send you a text message or it has to send you an email, depending on your issuer. Like, I have some that don't. Most of them don't, but some of them do. I can remember the 3-digit codes on a lot of my credit cards, so I didn't even need 1Password for that. I use my credit cards way too much.
All right, big spender.
Yeah, same here. The thing that drove me nuts, though, was like it popped up and it was like, would you like to add your Amazon Prime Chase card ending in these 4 digits with this expiration? Plug in the CVV, right? So I plug in the CVV and it's like, sorry, didn't work. Plug it in. Sorry, didn't work. Sorry, didn't work, right? So then I actually had to go to get it to work. I had to download the Chase app, log into the Chase app, enable Face ID, log out of the Chase app, log back in, and then choose add to wallet or add to Apple Pay through the Chase app, and then it allowed it to work.
If you hadn't set up as a new phone, you wouldn't have had to do that. My Chase card worked just fine.
We just had to type in the 3 digits. Yeah, I've got 2 different Chase cards on mine.
My wife had to do the same thing, and we did restore from backup on hers. And she had to reset it up on the watch as well. And she hasn't gotten her new watch yet either.
Did you do a local backup in iTunes when you did it? Or did you do it over iCloud encrypted?
iCloud.
I don't tell you, man. My Chases were flawless.
All I had to do was type in my CVVs for my bank account and two credit cards that I have on mine.
In fact, that works too well because I have a couple of credit cards I don't even have anymore, but they used to be in Apple Pay, and that gets on the list of things to restore. I need to go find a way to permanently purge some things from the wallet. Things that are long since gone, but it still remembers that I used to have them, and it tries to set them up, so that's kind of annoying.
Did anybody go 512 here?
What's that?
Anybody go 512 on their phone?
512. You did, Brian.
Oh, sorry. I misunderstood what you're saying. Yes, I have a 512 gig iPhone XS. The big daddy.
That's just gluttonous. Somebody from work asked me about it, and I'm like, I checked my phone, and I was using like 120 or 130 on it already, and I'm like, for an iPad Pro, like, you know, when the new iPad Pros come out, you know, 512 option, I'll probably go there for that device. But because I know I'm going to have that device, I just stuck with 256. I just didn't see where I would need it. So
I'm going to try to shoot more 4K video because why not? That's going to be my, now that I have as much as a laptop on my phone. My primary reason for doing that was because since I'm doing the upgrade program like you guys are, I'm on a 0% interest loan. So it's like the amount that I'm paying extra is like an extra $12 a month or something. So it's not like,
yeah, I mean, I just looked bank, and I was so. Like, eh, you know.
And see, I went the opposite direction. I was thinking about doing a 512, but I kind of looked, you know, like Jim did. And I think I was only using like 90 gigs of mine. And so, but probably a year and a half ago, I let my Adobe Creative Cloud photography plan lapse. So instead of spending like the extra $12 a month on the 512, I decided I'll probably sign back up and get Photoshop and Lightroom and do more editing that way. And they give me, you know, 20 gigs yeah. of storage or whatever.
I should probably put myself on like a subscription budget and just include the phone in that. Not in the phone plan. It's just a bill. I consider that a bill, but the phone is literally like a subscription budget.
It is.
Add in Hulu and well, not really Netflix, but Netflix and, you know, whatever else that I'm subscribed to. And yeah, like Jason is like, he's like, I cut back on the iPhone price, but then now I can get my Creative Cloud back and
acting like he's responsible and whatnot.
Also, speaking of subscriptions, though, I got a new subscription that has never been a subscription option before, and that is I am now subscribing to AppleCare Plus on a monthly basis with also theft and loss coverage. So if I had wanted to, so for instance, the iPhone XS.
Yeah, that was a new thing they started offering this
right,
year.
Right, so the iPhone that I'm trading back in to Verizon, I already paid full AppleCare price on. So whoever ends up with that phone is going to surprisingly have AppleCare already on it. But by me being on, you know, the upgrade every year plan, it is more expensive per year to do it monthly. But at the end, I will have saved, I don't know, 30-40% by not buying it outright, and I can then apply that subscription to whatever the next phone is.
Well, for those of us who have been getting our phones through the Apple upgrade program as opposed to the carrier, we've been doing that since for the last 2 or 3 years, man. You know, the Apple Care is built into the phone, and it's always been part of the monthly thing. I did the same thing. I added I think for an additional $3 a month, I got the theft and loss now as part of that, which I'm glad that I didn't have to pay a separate fee. You know what I mean? Like, it's all rolled into the same price.
Right.
And
that is one thing that's kind of weird on mine is now my Amazon Chase card is going to get billed monthly for the two Apple Cares, and because they're not part of the Verizon plan.
Yeah, I like having one bill to pay. But yeah, the reason I didn't feel so bad about going to the 512, though, was that it was a nominal jump to go from the 256 to the to the 512, and I do want to do I want to shoot a little more in 4K and have that as an option, and know that I'm not going to run out of space. But I was using about 130 gigs, so I store a lot of podcasts, a lot of movies, a lot of stuff. It's just I can give me the space, and I'll eventually use it. But a lot of transient things that don't get backed up to iCloud.
Yeah, see, I don't put movies on my phone because I travel with my iPad too. So I have one little gripe about the watch that's really annoying. In the new Infograph modular watch face, you can't add the alarm as a widget. And I use my watch on the road and all the time, you know, I'll try to charge it in the evening for, you know, about an hour and then put it back on and sleep with it on. And, you know, I use it as kind of a backup alarm, you know, in case something goes wrong, you know, whatever. The alarm is not an option anymore to put in one of the widget things. And I'm like, you know, and there's apps that were available before on the old watch that you also can't put in the widgets. Now, I'm assuming those are probably coming. They just need to upgrade the app and upgrade the watch app, and then they'll actually become widgets again. Like Pokemon Go used to be available as a widget. It would show whatever the egg you had, you were about to hatch, like the next one that would hatch on there, and actually have progress, like a, you know, round progress meter around there. So if you were hatching a 5K egg and you had 4K walked on it, you know, it'd show 80% full. And so you can't add that either. That's kind of annoying. And that I can live with because I know that's an app thing that they'll probably have to fix. But why the alarm is not available as a widget, is there something I'm missing here that there's like another like part of the screen that I click on for the alarm, or is it just gone?
That is a weird oversight, though. I mean, I just use Siri to set alarms when I'm doing it on the watch of wake me up at this time. And it's especially with the raise to wake, which works really well. I never use the widget for the alarm.
No, I do
anyway.
Too. I actually use Siri for that too. But before I could look at the watch to see, you know, just kind of look at it and see, it shows like the next alarm. So I could see my alarm is set for 7 a.m. where it would just be a repeating alarm or that kind of thing where I just have a.
So is that just on the, new face that you're, I mean, you can go back to the one you were using before and it's still there though, right?
Well, the new info modular, the old info screen, whatever multi-complication screen's not on there that I could tell, only the new one. It's got like the little date at the top and stuff. So I need to look. I mean, it is available as like a corner widget on some of the other watch faces. But on the new fancy info modular one, like for the three widgets at the bottom, alarm wasn't available. And that was kind of annoying to me. Maybe it's just an oversight. The other thing we've seen is...
So I'm on the modular face and I just picked alarm as one of my complications. So
really?
Yes.
On the, let's see here.
You can't see it on my, yours went off there. So it,
let me see. Yeah. Neither one of us can get our watches to show on the screen. That's weird. Alarm is not in my list.
Trust me. It's there. It's there. And so are some of my third parties.
Yeah. Maybe I need to find see if it's in the list of the old screen, the old multi-widget screen on there, because
that's what I'm, using.
The Earth.
I'm using the
like
old
the default one with the little Earth. You're using the old one, not the new one.
Correct.
Okay. Like, because the new one's got like the date at the top that wasn't there before, and it's got the Earth on the left of the time.
I'm using the same one that I always have for modular, and it's still
I just
there.
Need to look at that then.
Let's see. I did go to colorware.com, and I did get a skin for the back of the phone. I'm going to try and go caseless. I did get the Project Red silicone case that I had for the 10. But I am going to try and go caseless. And depending on whether or not I like it, I may actually do a different skin going forward. I tried not to get one that was the whole phone because those I typically haven't had good luck with in the past. They kind of peel off after time. So I figured one that's just over the back would be nice. So I will report in when that finally ships in another week or two. Let's see. As we've come up for a while now, maybe we shift away for just a little bit. There's two things that I wanted to hit before we were done this week. The first was, I guess, Stephen Trotten Smith, who was one of the guys who's so good at finding those things like the sitemap on Apple's site that leaked all the data. I guess the iOS 12.1 simulator that's out shows that there is support for virtualized 4K external displays. And if that's true, Lightning can't handle that. So that's pretty much a deadlock that USB-C will be in the iPad Pro if that ships. And I really was kind of surprised. I didn't think they would go through with that. But it's looking more and more like it's going to happen. Would you guys be happy if they ditch Lightning on the iPad Pros?
I feel like that only means that it would be inevitable that it would eventually come to the phone also.
I don't understand why you wouldn't do it all at the same time if you're going to do that. I mean, either go all in or don't, especially if you're having devices that are released within a month or two of each other. Just do them all at the same time. USB-C wasn't
that makes sense.
USB-C wasn't out when Lightning came out in like 2012, I think it was, it was 2012. So I don't really fault them, and I know changing a connector on millions upon millions of devices is a big deal. But good Lord, go ahead and pull the Band-Aid off if you're going to do that.
I mean, you say it's a big deal, but I mean, it's not like they have to go back and retrofit all those old devices. I mean, it's done solely through attrition. So just buy the new device, get the new cable, you're good to go.
Yeah, but you remember how many people complained and whined when they moved from the horrible 30-pin to Lightning, all the wailing and gnashing of teeth of, oh, this is terrible, this is the worst thing. And some of those accessory makers that had catered to iPods for so long were finally broken by having to do that. So because it's Apple.
Think about every hotel room like in the world, yes, that had the old 30-pin alarm clock, like where you could set your phone on top of it.
Oh, there's still a lot around the world that have the 30-pin connector.
So it is a big deal to change those connectors. And I know that people will complain and complain and complain that even if it is something that would ultimately benefit them, I guess, that would be the biggest complaint. They're just being greedy. They just want more money. Ugh, you can never win.
I mean, they're going to complain if they don't switch to something standardized, and then they're going to turn around and complain when they do switch to something standardized. Yep. So, I mean, you can't win.
I'll be looking forward to iFixit's teardown of the iPad Pro, because one of the things that I'm thinking is it is possible that the USB-C that goes in the iPad Pro have a larger footprint internally than what could have been wedged into a XS or a XS Max this year. Also, you know, the design team, I think, is considerably different on the iPad Pro. Like, I don't think people who are working on iPad Pro are also working on the iPhones. So I think slowly tearing off the Band-Aid and introducing it with the iPad Pro almost makes it inevitable for next year, which also allows the technology to get there. We also don't know if it's going to generate additional heat or if their power transfer is going to be that much different. So I think it coming out on the iPad Pro first is probably the right choice for Apple.
It makes sense on the iPad Pro because that makes the iPad Pro more like a laptop, which is maybe how they're trying to position it. It's more like the advanced, Windows Surface machines and those kind of things. So, it makes it closer to that. And that I can definitely see.
What's a computer?
Yeah, what's a computer? Thank you, Brad. Good one.
It would it'd be weird having two iOS devices that are comparable that don't use the same connector and aren't capable of the same things. That's the sort of weird thing. From a CPU perspective, they're all the same, or they will be the same. Usually they're pretty close, if not usually the same generation of processor and capability. But just not being able to... I want to be able to drive a 4K display from my phone. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't. Not really. It just sounds cool to say that.
We all do, Ryan. We all do.
They have some awesome presentations.
Some of those spiffy PowerPoints that you could do in 4K. So we'll see. I hope they have another announcement for this year.
Some quick in-pod follow-up. I just scrolled through the huge face gallery on the Watch app. And so I am using the Infograph modular screen, which is the new watch face that looks like the modular screen, but is not the modular. The modular is still in the list way down on the bottom now. So it's still in the list. So I can switch to that one. So I can get my stuff back. It won't have the fancy little earth on there, but I can live without the earth to get my alarm.
Exactly. The other thing I wanted to mention before we were done was the Google Maps made it into CarPlay this week with very little fanfare. On, I think, day one of iOS 12's general availability, it was there, which was a welcome surprise. And right around the same time, we got the notification 2 or 3 days before iOS 12 went out to the public, when it was already in Gold Master, that those of us on the Waze beta were like, hey, the build is coming in test flight, and we waited all weekend. We're refreshing test flight, even though you don't have to. You automatically get push notifications. And it did not show up until day one of general availability. I think Apple was holding that back. According to the Google folks that I saw, it's like, hey, we submitted it. They still have to approve it, even if it's in test flight. So they held off on it. Apple held off on it until, general availability. But I've been using Waze beta for about a week, and I just had a meeting downtown that I had to go to the day that I got it. And I've had some stability issues with it. It's definitely a beta, definitely not ready for prime time. Caused my phone to get real hot, ended up having to reboot my phone. It became sluggish and unusable at one point. So still definitely a beta. I tried to, I had a thing I had to go to today up in Alpharetta, and I put in I tried to do the destination, the thing in Fantastical where you can say open your maps in Waze. So I had the appointment on my calendar with the address. I touched the button and it opened it, but it was off of the display inside of CarPlay. Like, I could see a little bit poking out. So I had to disconnect from my phone from my car, get the directions pulled up inside of Waze first, and then plug back in to get it. So it's definitely, I don't think we'll be seeing it for a couple of weeks at least. Though Google Maps is supposed to work a little bit better, though I did link to an article where John Voorhees over at Mac Stories had some bad experiences with new Google Maps on CarPlay. I like the one thing that I get from Waze.
Beta version of Maps kind of scare me. I don't know. The Maps is kind of something that you just want to work. I mean, is that just me? I mean, obviously you're using it around Atlanta. So, I mean, you know where you're going. It's not like you're in a different town.
Yeah, but we've had a beta version of Maps for 5 years for Apple, so we're kind of used to it at this point. That's the situation.
And we're not using it. I mean, that's what I mean. Exactly. You know, that's why we still don't use it.
My wife made a very funny comment when we were down in Florida on vacation last week. I was using the Waze beta as well, and there was something screwy with the GPS of where it was like, it'd show 41 miles an hour, 88 miles an hour. 43 miles an hour, 95 miles an hour, right? Like it had no idea. And that was screwing with the, you know, destination time of it would show, you know, you'll be there in 3 minutes or you'll be there in 14 minutes. So anyhow, we made one turn and it was like, it couldn't locate what street we were on. My wife asked if that was the Michael Scott edition. Were we going to end up in a,
just driving to the lake,
to a lake?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the directions themselves for the most, I haven't had that happen, but I mean, the directions have been pretty good. It's just the getting the display. I can tell you, somebody used it on Android Auto this summer on my little burner Android phone. It wasn't a great experience on Android Auto either. I expected, hey, Google owns it, it'll be here. Then I went and browsed the forums and they were like, this sucks. You know, the people that actually depend on this and use it as their primary platform had issues. So, you know, keep that in mind when you're using this, that even on its native platform, it hasn't had the best of reputations. But, you know, I do feel better. I would feel better about using Google Maps than Apple Maps at this point. I like seeing the indicators to let me know how busy the roads are. You know, seeing them turn red, even if it's telling me to go in a certain way, I want to know, you know, I can zoom back from my neighborhood and see if the roads behind my house are busy, if the ones two or three streets over are busy. Just knowing generally what the situation is like. I've had my wife call in before when, you know, maybe Waze was telling her one thing and I would open up Google Maps and see, okay, yeah, there's, you know, you're red from here to here. So, and maybe, because, you know, they don't necessarily share all that same info. You'll see the crashes that are reported in Waze show up in Google Maps, but I don't know, they're still kind of separate systems and they still kind of do independent routing, but.
I haven't had that in a while and I do miss that. I mean, you know I can look at my phone and get it, but just should have an infographic up in your car where you could just like look at, you know, the couple of miles around you where you're at in Dallas, you know, and get directions. I mean, that's mostly why, even if I know where I'm going now, a lot of times I'll get in the car and just put in the Waze directions just to make sure it's taking me the way I was going to go. And then I just hit stop. But I just want to check to make sure that, you know, okay, is there any traffic issues? You know, if I'm going further than, you know, 15-minute ride, I'll at least put it in just to check, okay, is this the way you're taking me? Yeah, okay. Those roads are clear. Because in Dallas, there's like 6+ ways to get anywhere. I mean, I've got preferred ways, but because of that, it, you know, it works to check first because, you know, there's not always a, you know, preferred way that's incredibly better than every other way.
Now, if I'm even just going to the grocery store or something like that, I will leave Waze open even when I'm not getting it to give me directions. So if I see cops or wrecks or anything else, I just go ahead and with a click of the wheel, I'm not technically breaking the law in George either because I'm not touching my phone. I do it through the graphics on the screen and just report the accident or, you know, hey, there's a cop hiding over here, that type of thing.
Brian's leveling up his Waze user.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, the traffic reports, as long as I don't have that. See, that's the thing too, is that I didn't like using it in the car because if you've ever used the auto interface, whether it's CarPlay or Android Auto, it's a much simpler and cleaner interface to do that stuff. So, you know, reporting something on your phone in that app is a pain, right? I mean, it's a couple of menus that you have to be looking away from the road. I never thought it was very safe to do. With this, it's much easier. Like, I can navigate without even looking. Now I just spin the wheel. It ends, the final position it ends in is to report. And, you know, it's easy to do. You're not, it makes the tool more useful when you can do it in that sort of fashion. So, you know, I was reporting cops left and right the other day. It was great.
Using CarPlay, like I've done it some in rental cars. I don't own a car that has it, but it always reminds me that I'm like using a really big iPhone 1. I don't know. It's just like, just the screen. It's just like.
Well, I'm hoping to have a slightly different experience with that in a couple of weeks. I purchased Pioneer's flagship AV device that doesn't have built-in GPS. I bought their 4400 NEX model that has wireless CarPlay. And that is being installed in my Navigator on October 2nd. So whatever show we have after that, I hope to give a little bit of a review and, you know, share my thoughts on what wireless CarPlay is. I've got wired CarPlay in my BMW, but it's kind of a lesser expensive Sony model that was kind of a entry model. So for getting into the higher end model, I'm looking forward to seeing what some of the features are. One thing I am definitely looking for it forward to is in the wireless CarPlay, I'll be able to actually invoke maps or invoke an app without it actually being on my phone, right? So in wired CarPlay, if I launch maps and then want to switch over to Spotify, it switches to Spotify on the screen. I can do that completely independent now. So I can launch maps and then go out, and if I'm at a traffic light or whatever and want to read my RSS reader, maps will stay invoked on the CarPlay screen.
Which you shouldn't be doing because that's against the law. But
I was just giving an example for off-road use.
So for real, it does that? I thought the wireless was just the method of how it communicated from the phone to the unit. You're acting as if it's a completely independent, it's like an independent iOS device. Is that how it does it in the wireless thing?
Yep.
Really?
Oh, yep. I watched a YouTube video on it the other night, and that was kind of one of the selling features.
Interesting. So I'm definitely, the one thing that I hate about things like Bluetooth is we've talked about this before, you get in and it'll start just playing, you know, some gangster rap that you were listening to 2 weeks ago spontaneously. I hope that the wireless CarPlay doesn't do that. So I do look forward to seeing what your experience is with that. Though now that they've got the hands-free laws, I don't know. I'm trying not to touch my phone as much as possible anyway while I'm driving, to just to be in compliance with the law. And now that I have the navigation, which you can't use Siri with it, obviously, but it still has the microphone icon, so you can still talk to Google Maps and you can still talk to Waze. It's just a little clunky. You have to invoke it through the UI, but if you still want to use voice to search, you can. It would be nice if they integrated with Siri, but we all know that's not going to happen, so yeah. Well, anyhow, gentlemen, we have been at it for a while. I guess this is probably as good a place as any to call it a day.
Yep. New phone weekend. I'm sure we'll have a whole lot more stories, antidotes to report back next week or 2 weeks from now when we reconvene to share stories. And maybe by then we'll know when they're going to make the next announcement for iPads or AirPods or whatever else is coming out for this fall.
Oh, one last thing. We had talked internally that I couldn't make a decision between aluminum and steel. And I know that was a previous episode. We had talked about it for the watch. And when I got up to order at 3:01 on the 14th, I still couldn't decide. Well, my hesitation cost me in that 5 minutes while I was still waffling. So the aluminum was still in stock. So I was just like, ah, screw it. I'll just get aluminum. Who cares? And afterwards, a few minutes later, I was still up at like 3:30. I know you guys ordered and immediately went back to bed.
Buyer's remorse.
If I was just getting a phone, I would have been right back in bed. But I was like, I was still sitting there just like, aluminum or steel? Aluminum or steel? So I went ahead and just ordered a steel in addition to the aluminum, and I will send one of them back. But I've got the aluminum. It's nice, but it just doesn't, I don't know. I think I like the look of the steel better. But the steel, by the time I hit the button on it, didn't come in until like between October 12th and 19th. So I'm thinking at this point, I'll probably just keep the steel and return the aluminum. I have 30 days to return through Apple, so.
We know you're a Lannister at heart.
Yep.
Have to have the fanciest of things.
I thought you were going to say always pays his debts, which I do that too. Speaking of which, I really need to get with you, Jason, and give you your pie hole and collect the 30-watt chargers and lightning cable from you. Just, it hasn't lined up, and with your torn tendon, are you able to leave the house? Are you working from the office, or are you working from home exclusively?
I am in the office 4 days a week.
Ah, okay. Even with the boot and the torn tendon.
That is correct.
Is your wife driving you? How are you? Are you driving in the boot?
No comment. Yeah, I'm driving.
Wow. I couldn't have done that when I had the boot. Wow. I don't like to drive in flip-flops, let alone a boot.
Yeah, when I drive the S in flip-flops, it's a little weird because, you know, I've got the clutch and all, and I'm like, eh, oh well.
Well, so from racing for, you know, many years, I left foot brake. So I'm more concerned about braking than I am acceleration. So, you know, it's not too difficult to just push on the accelerator a little bit, and I can overpower anything with my left foot for braking.
And he's in that navigator, so if he does wreck, then he's fine. I mean, he's killing whoever he hits, but he's fine.
I'll try to get with you this week. I'm actually going to be in Alpharetta tomorrow, or close to Alpharetta. I'll be Johns Creek, but not too far.
Cape Cod Blue Leather, the new blue I ordered and picked up yesterday. I really like it. It reminds me of the powder blue from Ole Miss. So
Clown Red, Bozo the Clown Red. They changed the hue on this year's model, and it's not nearly as dark or rich as it has been in the past. So I'm hoping that hand oil and whatnot will transfer and give it a darker finish at some
point.
Just
go have some, Brian says you just need to go have some wings and then hold it, and it fixes it right up.
Hit Taco Mac like I did yesterday, and you'll be all set by the time you leave. I'm surprised, Jim, that you aren't doing the peel or one of those types of or the color wear thing where you do the thing I showed you, like with the all red back with the powder blue on the camera.
That was sharp, but I change cases so much. I was just like, eh. So I've still got my other cases, but I bought this new Cape Cod Blue is what Apple calls it, but I call it powder blue for the Rebels.
Good deal. Good deal. That should do it for this week, fellas.
Later, fellas. Are we going to do a later, fellas?
Let's do it again. Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at infinloopback. That's at I-N-F-I-N loopback. I'm Brian B. That's at B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at B-I-G-J-I-M. Jason is at J-S-N-Y-N-G. That's at J-S-N-Y-N-G. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.